This morning, in Jesus' name, I stand before you trembling a bit, wondering what exactly God wants me to say and share with you all this morning. He's put some thoughts on my heart, but I've struggled knowing exactly what all to make of them, so we want to trust God as He leads us. This past week, I've been considering a character in the Old Testament that I guess I was listening to the scriptures and came across this passage. This example that's before us, I want to just briefly look at the life of one of the judges of Israel, Samson. And I still have a lot of questions in my own mind about some of the things there in Samson's life, but I do want to look at a few different points and things in his life, and maybe we can learn a few things together today about this man and about our own lives, our own hearts. First of all, I just want to, if you want to follow along, there's a few scriptures we'll be looking at. His life is in Judges. Starts in Judges chapter 13, and I think it goes through Judges chapter 16 there. But before that even, I would like to draw our attention to Hebrews chapter 11. We're very familiar with Hebrews chapter 11 as the faith chapter. But in that, we see a man's name come up that maybe we wouldn't expect to find there. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, I'll just read two verses there, it says, And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. I think we'll just stop there. But there in the midst of all these different men and women of faith, we find the man Samson is listed there also. Now there is some controversy, I think, with the life of Samson and some of the things that he did and all that. But I'd like to use some of those things as a bit of an example in our own lives, perhaps. One thing that I would just like to say is concerning Samson's birth, there's pretty much a whole chapter devoted there to Samson's birth and the way that the angel of the Lord came twice to his parents and instructed them on how to care for him. And I want to say that he was not going to be an ordinary man. He was not to be an ordinary man. He was to be a Nazarite. From conception, that was the thing that stood out to me clearly in this passage is the way that his mother was supposed to conduct herself before he was born. He was called of God. The calling of God was upon the life of Samson from before he was born. He was born to Manoah and his wife, and I'm not quite sure if it ever gives his wife's name. Him and his wife there, they spent a lot of time really seeking out whether this was of God. They met with the angel of the Lord there the second time, both of them. It's amazing the offering that they offered before the Lord and how in the end there the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of that offering. Just pretty interesting, I guess, considering this was all before Samson was born. And but we see there's two verses I'd like to read there at the end of chapter 13. It says, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. The blessing of the Lord was upon him." Verse 25, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Ashtaol." And seemed as if God's calling was upon his life there, and he started doing things. I don't know what all that means, but God's Spirit was there on the life of Samson. Then we see in chapter 14, the next chapter there, that Samson was drawn down to Timnath, and he got involved there with and wanted a wife there from that Philistine town, or the daughter, one of the daughters of the Philistines anyway, as I understand it. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time considering all that, but we see in the process of time, it says that this was in one sense of the Lord. I don't know that the wife he was desiring was of the Lord necessarily, but he was to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. And so this was all part of God's plan in one way. Now, I believe that women played a huge role in Samson's downfall, as we'll see as we continue on there. But in the process of all that, there was different mighty things that he did. He killed a lion. God's Spirit started manifesting itself, you could say, in his life in strength. He killed a lion. He killed 30 men there for the wager that he lost there with the Philistines. And then, because they took his wife and gave her to another man, we have that story of how he destroyed all those crops there with them 300 foxes that he released and set fire to all those crops. But anyway, I just want to draw our attention more towards the latter part of his life. He slew 1,000 men there with the jawbone of a donkey. And, you know, these things, we wonder what all this is about, but he was to be the judge of Israel and to deliver Israel from their enemies. We also have the story there of when he was at Gaza, where the enemies had surrounded the city, and he just simply took the whole city gate or door and its posts, and he carried it, my understanding, at least 5 miles to the top of a hill. Just incredible, the power of the Spirit in his life there was displayed. But then we come to the story there. Let's see if I can find my place as we go along here. There, the story of Samson and Delilah. There, if you're following along, be in Judges chapter 16, starting in verse 4. There was another woman that was a great snare to Samson, and this woman would be his undoing. Her persistency paid off. She wanted to find out the cause of his great strength. Now, we know from looking back on it, we know that she was on the sides of the Philistines, very obviously, and that was the reason she wanted to know. But after much nagging, and after 3 false claims, she finally told her the source of his great strength. Now, my understanding here, the source of his great strength lied in his Nazarite vow, is my understanding, in his long hair. Never a razor was to come upon his head. And in the simple... and it's interesting how the scripture says it there. After she nagged him, finally, he told her all his heart, it says in verse 17. And I think at that time, Delilah knew, this probably is it. He told her all his heart. And what a sad state there for Samson. He literally told the enemy the reason for his strength. And I don't think Samson really looked at Delilah as his enemy, but she was. She was an enemy to the people of God. And, you know, Delilah may have seemed to love him, But in reality, she cared far more for her people than for Samson. Because after all this happened, we don't read any more about Delilah. You know, she wasn't faithful to him. She, you know, as he was put into prison, we don't read anything of her anymore. She used manipulation, and in the end, Samson's own head lay in her lap. And I just want us to get a picture of this, of how his enemy, was able to seduce him and cause him to finally tell all. And in end, you know, she basically betrayed him, and they cut his hair. And we see there in, I think we're in verse 19 there, and they shaved off the 7 locks of his head. And then she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. She said, verse 20, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Verse 21 says, "But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." Verse 22 says, "Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." I'd like to just consider there. One place I read, we often get a picture of Samson was doing some really hard work in prison. Now, I don't know this, but there was another perspective that I read, gave the idea that this was probably considered woman's work in prison. This man had lost his great strength, and he may have been sitting there literally grinding grain like a woman. And that's a little different picture than what I had gotten growing up many times. Needless to say, they also got rid of his eyes. They didn't want this Samson doing all the things that he used to do. And so there he was, basically powerless, bound, and he was working for the enemy. He was in prison, working for the enemy. We all know these stories quite well, I believe, but, you know, then we see that the Philistines, I did miss one important part of his life that I do want to just mention a little bit, and that was the time when his own people, I'm backtracking a little, but when his own people turned him over to their enemies. That is found, that was the time when he slew 1,000 of them. But they came up on that rock where he had been staying, and the Philistines had come down and pitched against Judah, and they spread themselves before them. Well, the Israelites went down to find out why the Philistines were there, and they said, We're here for Samson. And so the Israelites actually came up to Samson and basically said they'd like to bind him and take him down and give them to the Philistines. And he allowed them to do that. He did make them swear to him that they wouldn't hurt him. I thought that was quite interesting. He almost seemed to be more afraid of the children of Israel than the Philistines. But we all know that he came down and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he broke those cords and he killed 1,000 men with a jawbone of an ass, there it says. Just amazing. Anyway, so I skipped that part, but we'll keep going there. But then the end there of his life, we see that the Philistines were still rejoicing over the life of Samson, whom they captured. They decided they're going to pitch this great party there for their gods. And while they're doing that, they're going to bring Samson out, that he can entertain them. And we know that story, how Samson came out, and it does say he entertained and performed for them. And then we know how that Samson, what he says there, he wanted to avenge himself of the life of it says there in verse 28 of chapter 16, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. That was a reason he gave there for his avenging. In some translations I found a little interesting, they actually say, read more like, that he may be avenged of the one of his two eyes. I thought it was kind of interesting, but if he could only have one of his eyes back, he would have been very happy. But there we see that Samson died in the midst of his enemies. But I believe he felt as if he probably was avenged and truly his life. My understanding was he did free the Israelites from the Philistines. And so my thoughts this morning, I'd like to go back just briefly and touch again on some of these points and maybe bring them to our attention a little closer. But my thoughts this morning would be, if I had to give a title, would be The Secret of Your Strength. What is the secret of our strength this morning? We know what the secret of Samson's strength was. It was his covenant there with God. And it seems as if Samson did a lot of wicked things. I don't quite understand all that. But as long as he was faithful to that covenant with God, God held up his end. And the moment that Samson broke that covenant, his strength left him. And so the question I guess I'd have for us this morning is, what is the covenant that we have with our God? And what is the secret? And I would say that answers the question. That is the secret of our strength, as we hold up our end of our covenant with God. I think any one of us who have felt God's calling in our life would say that, I didn't word that right, but many of us who have heard God in our life have felt his moving would say that we are called of God. And therefore, I would venture to say that we are, in many ways, to be separated unto God. His calling, if it's upon our life, we are to be separated unto God. And the secret of our strength lies in our keeping of the covenant or commitment to our God, not necessarily on our performance. I say that carefully because I do believe in a holy life, but I think out of the way that we view our covenant with our God will very much affect how we will perform, so to speak, what for life we will live. And I do think in some ways we look at Samson's life, it seems to be maybe a bit careless, I could say almost. He wasn't very careful in some of those things of morality. But he was, up to that point, my understanding was he did keep that covenant of being a Nazarite. And so I want to consider ourselves in that light, in the way that we go about doing maybe the work of God, the way he has called us in our life. Sometimes we get quite close to what we might consider our enemy. And sometimes we maybe are right in the camp of the enemy, maybe doing what we feel God is calling us. But what kind of friendships do we have with our enemy? What kind of, we see in Samson's life, he had some very close friendships with the Philistines. Do we get to a place where we start to make compromises and negotiate with our enemy? And I want to consider our enemy not in light of people today, but in light of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. There's many different things that are our enemy today. And most of all, the devil. Now, many times we don't meet directly face to face with the devil, but sometimes we come quite close to the works in the kingdom of darkness. Do we make compromises and negotiate with them? Or do we consider them enemies to to the people of God and to ourselves. We will meet with our enemy head on at times. You know, there's direct clashes with the kingdom of darkness. But we dare not be deceived into finding pleasure in his allurements. And there's many different things we could mention today. If we do without fail, we will become powerless and we're going to lose our sight spiritually. We're going to lose our discernment. We're going to lose our ability to make right judgment. And the next thing we know, we will be sitting in prison, working for our enemy, for the devil. It will be near to impossible to make good, sound judgment if we begin to negotiate and to find ourselves spiritually with our head in the lap of the enemy. Now, I don't want to look at Samson's life in a negative way and doom and gloom type of way this morning, but I do want us to think this morning, especially as young people, if you've made commitments in your heart to God, don't think that we can start making compromises with the enemy and keep those commitments. It won't work. If we begin to compromise, our commitment to God is also going to be compromised. And if we cannot keep up our end, I don't know how to say it, God will only keep up his end if we will keep up our end. He is not obliged to keep his covenant with us if we break ours. Now, we see a very interesting thing here in chapter 16. I'm sorry. No, it's there. It's there where he was put into prison. Yes, in verse 22, it says that the hair of his head began to grow again. And I think that's a key verse there. The covenant started to be being built again between Samson and his God. And God once again held up his end of the bargain. And it's the same way in our life. If we will turn our hearts to our God once again, he will be there to keep up his end of the covenant. And it's a beautiful promise. Even though Samson never got his eyesight back, Samson never was the man he once was, yet God still kept up his end of the covenant. And in his death, it says there was more died there at his death than in all of his life. And so there's a lot of different things we could draw parallels from Samson's life. There's just a few things there that I want us to consider. And there again, I want to make it very clear. The enemy of our soul is not any person. If you're a young person here, it is not a person in particular, but it is the devil and his hosts in the kingdom of darkness. And we want to be clear in this life who we are serving and who we'll give our allegiance to. Samson was sent by God to deliver Israel. And he did that in many ways. There's no doubt about it. But in the process of everything, his heart was drawn away. And he began to negotiate. He began to make compromises with the enemy. And it can be that way in our own life. So I just want to challenge our own hearts in this way this morning. Where is the secret of your strength? Find that again this morning and renew that covenant. What is it that gives you the strength and power in your life? And also spend time pondering, what is it that undermines that covenant with God? Are we making some secret negotiations or excuses for ourselves in this life? Maybe things that nobody is aware of, but in the end, it's going to be our undoing if we continue in that. So I just want to leave that challenge with you. God bless you. I want to leave leave with you this morning hope and power, not discouragement. I want that clear, that there is hope and power if we will but turn to God and renew our covenant with Him. So God bless you all.